what little I can to the benefit of mankind. I acknowledge your right to be informed of the events that have lately happened in my family. Make what use of the tale you shall think proper. If it be communicated to the world, it will inculcate the duty of avoiding deceit. It will exemplify the force of early impressions and show the immeasurable evils that flow from an erroneous or imperfect discipline. My state is not destitute of tranquility. The sentiment that dictates my feelings is not hope. Futurity has no power over my thoughts. To all that is to come, I am perfectly indifferent. With regard to myself, I have nothing more to fear. Fate has done its worst. Henceforth, I am callous to misfortune. I address no supplication to the deity. The power that governs the course of human affairs has chosen his path. The decree that ascertained the condition of my life admits of no recall. No doubt it squares with the maxims of eternal equity. That is neither to be questioned nor denied by me. It suffices that the past is exempt from mutation. The storm that tore up our happiness and changed into dreariness and desert, the blooming scene of our existence, is lulled into grim repose. But not until the victim was transfixed and mangled, till every obstacle was dissipated by its rage, till every remnant of good was wrested from our grasp and exterminated. How will your wonder, and that of your companions, be excited by my story? Every sentiment will yield to your amazement. If my testimony were without corroborations, you would reject it as incredible. The experience of no human being can furnish a parallel, that I, beyond the rest of mankind, should be reserved for a destiny without alleviation and without example. Listen to my narrative, and then say what it is that has made me deserve to be placed on this dreadful eminence, if indeed every faculty be not suspended in wonder that I am still alive and am able to relate it. My father's ancestry was noble on the paternal side, but his mother was the daughter of a merchant. My grandfather was a younger brother and a native of Saxony. He was placed, when he had reached the suitable age, at a German college. During the vacations, he employed himself in traversing the neighboring territory. On one occasion, it was his fortune to visit Hamburg. He formed an acquaintance with Leonard Weise, a merchant of that city, and was a frequent guest at his house. The merchant had an only daughter, for whom his guest speedily contracted an affection. And in spite of parental menaces and prohibitions, he, in due season, became her husband. By this act, he mortally offended his relations. Thenceforward, he was entirely disowned and rejected by them. They refused to contribute anything to his support. All intercourse ceased, and he received from them merely that treatment to which an absolute stranger or detested enemy would be entitled. He found an asylum in the house of his new father, whose temper was kind, and whose pride was flattered by this alliance. The nobility of his birth was put in the balance against his poverty. Weise conceived himself, on the whole, to have acted with the highest discretion in thus disposing of his child. My grandfather found it incumbent on him to search out some mode of independent subsistence. His youth had been eagerly devoted to literature and music. These had hitherto been cultivated merely as sources of amusement. They were now converted into the means of gain. At this period, there were few works of taste in the Saxon dialect. My ancestor may be considered as the founder of the German theater. The modern poet of the same name is sprung from the same family, and perhaps surpasses but little in the fruitfulness of his invention, or the soundness of his taste, the elder Wieland. His life was spent in the composition of sonatas and dramatic pieces. They were not unpopular, but merely afforded him.